Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of James Corbett, who's a Canadian national living in Japan, who gives us an international view of what's going on. He writes the lead editorial in the International Forecaster. Bob Chapman put that out, and I think he picked Sunday, our guest this evening, to write the lead editorial when Bob knew he was passing away. Under any circumstances, why, Bob, thank you very much for being with us tonight. James Corbett, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. No problem.
All right.
Sorry, I had a bit of a technical issue here.
All right. Very good. Well, Sydney, we are seeing that a lot of our major retailers are having a lot of problems here. We keep telling us that the economy is doing well, but Sears is losing, I don't know, a significant part of $1 billion every year. You can't keep doing that indefinitely. And Target and Best Buy. And so many of our traditional stores are just not doing well. They keep telling us that we have all these new people that have jobs, but most of them are part-time jobs. What's your opinion about what's really happening economically today?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of things to say about what's happening in terms of retail, and some of them are not so negative, but a lot of them do have a bleak outlook, especially for outlets that are in physical locations, because of course there are less and less people who are doing their purchasing in the physical stores. There is more of an online retail trend happening, and that's of course affecting a lot of buyers now, and of course a phenomenon that I'm sure a lot of your listeners will be familiar with is that shopping malls are becoming more and more vacant as a lot of the anchor stores tend to close out and stop doing business. So there is obviously a phenomenon of contraction in the physical retail space that's been going on for a while now. And obviously that has ramifications for a lot of different industries, including even the commercial real estate industry. So we're looking at that sort of trend, and as the economy makes that transition away from a lot of physical brick and mortar stores towards more online retail outlets, there's going to be a lot of pain in that transition, and I think we're starting to see the leading edge of that.
All right, Sydney, I agree with you. So basically, well, what about the job market? I mean, we're being told the job market's good, but I just wonder how many of these jobs are really just these part-time jobs that are coming about as a direct result of Obamacare.
Yes, I think that's absolutely an important factor in all of this, that Obamacare has been noted as a key reason, for example, why there's a lot of people who are hesitant towards hiring, simply because of the Obamacare requirements that are a part and parcel of that ACA, the Affordable Care Act. So that, for example, there is just a Philadelphia Fed survey from the Philadelphia Federal Reserve Bank that shows that there was a 23.5% of respondents to that survey saying that the number of workers employed is lower due to the effects of Obamacare. So there are more and more employers who are increasingly saying that they do not want to have hire new employees because of their requirements that come as part of this legislation.
All right. Well, certainly our guest is James Corbett. We're talking about what's happening to the economy today. And the question is, is the economy doing well? I really don't think so. But, of course, where is this all going to lead? We'll be back in a moment.
While a storm cloud gathers far across the sea.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is James Corbett. And James, what would you like to do?
Silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations, or LERPs. Soldiers love LERP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LERPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Well, you can always give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But James is simply talking about the fact that there maybe there's going to be some problems. He's pointing out that certainly in Eastern Europe, as a result of the sanctions that have been put on Russia, and Russia has retaliated and putting sanctions certainly onto imports from Eastern Europe. And there's certainly some 50,000 jobs, Eastern Europe, German jobs, that may very well be in jeopardy at the present time. And certainly. The whole idea that we're going to punish Russia, we're going to get them to do what we want to. And Russia's just saying, fine, you're going to put sanctions on us, we'll put sanctions on you. And those really are going to hurt a lot of the agricultural business in Europe, aren't they? And what about industrial jobs? Will it hurt industrial jobs as well?
It certainly will. In fact, it's been for several months now, it's been a Germany's business lobby that has been basically dragging its heels on the idea of applying sanctions or further sanctions towards Russia. And it was just a few weeks ago that the business lobby finally relented and put their support behind the increased sanctions. So they were applied just about a month ago. And of course, then we saw Russia respond with the food import sanctions of its own, which of course is going to affect the agricultural jobs. But latest data actually shows that overall exports to Russia, in not only in agriculture but in industry, the Federation of German Industry is reporting that overall exports to Russia have dropped 15.5% in the first half of the year and may drop as much as 25% overall in 2014, which would, as they say themselves, quote, pose a risk to 50,000 German jobs, end quote. So again, there is we're only starting to see the leading edge of these reverse sanctions and the drop off in trade, but they are definitely going to start hitting home for the average German worker in the near future. And the kind of interesting part of this, the mirror image of that, is what's happening in Russia right now, where their MICEX index has been on a tear recently. In fact, it's been up for 10 straight days, which is the longest rally since 2005, and in the last 12 sessions has soared 9.1%, which is a pretty staggering figure for 12 trading days. It's been basically soaring through the roof. And this is an interesting turnaround of events. I mean, still, the MICEX is down 3.3% on the year because of the early sort of bear market that we saw as some of these events in Eastern Europe were taking place. But now that it looks like there is some attempt at resolution and Putin is going to be meeting with the Ukrainian president in Germany today, it looks like there's a rally underway. And as much as $200 million of new money has flooded into the Market Vectors Russia ETF, which is an electronic traded fund, an exchange-traded fund that tracks the Russian stock market. So $200 million of new investor money flooding in just this month alone. So there's a significant rally taking place in Russia, even as it looks like Europe is starting to contract because of these sanctions.
All right. Well, let's go to John, who's calling us from Spokane, Washington. John, do you have a question for our guest?
I do have a question. I just heard on the news that Sears, I guess it's not just Sears, but also I guess they own Kmart and whatever else they own. But they lost over the last 3 months, $300 million in 3 months. And I was just thinking in terms of, I've heard that Walmart's not doing too good either. And the public that they target, they don't have any money. They don't have jobs, like, and what have you. What's going to happen to these large retailers that you think are part of the group that manufactures overseas and distributes here in the United States if they've lost their base and those people don't have money to go out and buy?
Very legitimate question. We touched on that before, but would you like to comment on that again? Because I think it's something people should understand that this Sears is talking of maybe about $1 billion loss for the year. That's an awful lot of money. And I mean, you might get by with it for 1 year, but 2 years, but before long, they're going to have real problems.
Absolutely. In fact, just to put that in perspective, Sears is already planning on closing 130 stores across the U.S. this year, and they're now thinking about doing even more as they posted their ninth consecutive loss. They've lost $573 million in the last quarter alone. I mean, staggering figures, absolutely unbelievable figures. So absolutely, there is some definite bloodletting that's happening in U.S. retail right now. And I think there is a genuine question about sort of a chicken and egg question. Are the retail failing and thus sort of contributing to the downward spiral of the economy, or is it the consumers who are basically holding and pinching their pennies because they can't afford anything anymore? And one of those factors feeds into the other, and it's like a feedback loop. So it is difficult to see how we can pull out of that spiral without something drastically different taking place in the economy. I wouldn't exactly worry about some of the retailers. I think Walmart, for example, is pretty much assured of its market. But definite changes taking place, and some of the sort of anchor stores of the past in the previous era of retail, like Sears and Kmart and others, are definitely, there's a big question mark hanging over them at this point. And I think we could definitely see some of those chains going under or consolidating in some pretty surprising ways over the coming year.
Anything else, John?
Well, tied in with that, I know, like with malls, like you mentioned, the idea of anchor stores. You close an anchor store, a couple anchor stores at these malls, and that's it. The malls are going to shut down in a matter of time. And I know that most of the retail shops in malls, they have manufacturing overseas, central distribution points, and then they've got the same stores in every mall throughout the country. So then what happens, it seems to me, is cascading. James?
Right, yeah. No, I understand what you mean. I mean, this obviously doesn't just affect the stores themselves and their employees, but obviously also the manufacturing, the distribution, all of the real estate, everything that goes into this. I think you're right about that. And again, I think that this is just the leading edge of a phenomenon that's taking place more generally in the economy. And I'm not really sure what the way out of this is other than increased consumer spending. But of course, that's only at this point predicated on increased consumer debt. And I think the average American household is maxed out in debt. So I don't know how they're going to entice people to continue the sort of shopping sprees that would be necessary to maintain this. And I think you're exactly right. Just as the anchor stores start closing, that will have a knock-on effect in other retail throughout the sort of shopping mall complexes. So I do see this as the beginning of a downward spiral.
I'm wondering if this is how the evil empire will fail, because what happens is they destroy their base, and from their base they lose everything. It's almost like what you guys know the name of it, where the Russians, whenever they were being conquered, whether it was by Hitler or whether it was by Napoleon, they would just burn their fields and destroy their towns as they fled.
Okay, fine. John, we share your concern. God bless. Thanks so much. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I've read several places where George Soros is shorting suddenly the stock market and Standard & Poor, I think it is. Something to the effect that he's suddenly putting up a couple of $1 billion, anticipating that suddenly there's going to be a major fall in the stock market. Have you heard this sort of thing?
Yes, I certainly have. It's called the Soros put, and basically it's the Soros fund management has an ongoing bet against the S&P 500 through the S&P 500 ETF. They have a put position whereby basically they're betting on it crashing, and this has been rolled over every single quarter since, I believe, 2010. But the value of this put is increasing dramatically, and back in February, the filings for Soros Fund Management were released for Q4 2013 that showed that there was a $1.3 billion bet basically against the S&P 500. When the latest filings came out just earlier this month, it showed that put has grown from $1.3 billion to $2.2 billion, which is 17% of Soros's total investment capital, which is a staggering amount to put into one bet. And basically that bet is that sometime in the next 3 months, the S&P 500 is going to collapse. Now, he could roll that over again, as he has been doing since 2010. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to come right away. But that's the position that Soros Fund Management is taking at this point, at any rate.
Well, I think it's something we should all be aware of, because I think that George Soros has connections very close to the very heart of what's going on today. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for James. James, what should people be doing today if they have money they want to invest and they want to keep it secure?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different things that people can do, and obviously it depends on their situation. But as usual, I would say that precious metals are a good place to keep money that you're not looking to turn around in the short term, as they tend to hold their value. And, of course, anything that you can physically possess or occupy, such as actual land, would be a pretty good bet, especially because, as we talk about with that phenomenon happening of the collapse of the retail economy, and basically feeding into more people being laid off and more people looking for work, and the sort of decline in the overall standard of living in the United States, that's going to start feeding into the society at large. And we're starting to see that in places like Ferguson, where this is turning into unrest, which turns into police action, which, of course, only furthers the sort of takeover of the police state. So if people have a physical piece of land that they can get to outside of the city, that would obviously be a very good idea, and an increasingly good idea in an increasingly unstable society.
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call if you have a question or comment.
In politics, you eliminate the nation that word protects. America is now number one in teen pregnancy.
Well, certainly, as we look and see what's going on, certainly Europe is having real problems. You mentioned that Eastern Europe is having problems.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it, taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000. 405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Manipulated down, in my estimation. It is being manipulated at the present time. It's down around 1295, somewhere in there today. But listen, it looks to me like the price of both gold and silver are still being manipulated. And they keep making a big issue, oh, well, we're changing the way that we're determining the price. But they're still being the price is still being put forward by the banks or groups of banks who have a vested interest in controlling the price of gold and silver. Is that a legitimate concern?
It certainly is. And, of course, no matter what they say that they're changing about the silver fix or the gold fix, ultimately, at the end of the day, these prices are still largely determined by paper gold and paper silver. the paper notional idea of these precious metals rather than the actual physical exchange themselves. So, of course, it does, I mean, we do see in broad strokes the kind of tracking of the gold price or the silver price to large geopolitical events. I mean, especially in the gold price as a flight to safety. When there's a ramp up in tensions, for example, in Eastern Europe, we see the gold price swing upwards. And when there's talks of peace, we see it swing downwards. And that's to be expected to a certain extent as people flock to gold or get out of gold as an investment. But the overall price, again, it's so largely determined by these paper pieces of gold that are floating around and traded as if they are gold that it's difficult to get a handle on the actual physical price. But as we've talked about in recent weeks, there are new exchanges popping up in other places, including, of course, here in Asia, that are going to be providing a mechanism for actually attempting to discover a physical price for gold on the market, which is exciting because, again, it might give us an indication of where the actual demand and supply for gold stands rather than the paper-manipulated market.
Well, now, is China continuing to try to accumulate gold for a backing for their currency? Everything would point to the fact that China is trying to do everything they can to not only import gold, but certainly they're the largest producer. They're not exporting any, and they're encouraging their citizens to hold gold. And it looks like China is moving towards a gold standard where we're doing everything we can to get away from anything solid behind our currency. I would think that we would be in a very, very dangerous position from a monetary point of view. What are your thoughts?
Yes, well, that's an astute observation. China has definitely been making a concerted effort to move toward an actual exchangeable convertible currency. Right now, of course, the Chinese yuan is pegged to the dollar, and that pegging has been a point of debate and tension between China and the United States, because basically the United States thinks that China has been undervaluing its currency on purpose in order to make its exports more competitive on the international market. And there's been a lot of pressure for China to adjust that peg and move it upwards. And that's been a political process that's been taking place back and forth. But all the while, for the last several years, they've been moving step by step toward making the yuan an actual convertible currency, which would be a basic step to making it an actual player on the international market. And we're seeing, for example, the creation of these economic free trade zones, where there's going to be more of a sort of a loosening of regulations on capital controls, where people will be able to buy and trade yuan openly. And we're now starting to see, of course, the fruits of the last several years of gold accumulation by the Chinese, as they just earlier this year finally updated and upgraded their gold holding information to show that they've been buying gold at a furious pace for the last several years. And of course, this has trickled down to the general population as well, as China's become the world's largest gold importer and a place where gold is highly sought out in the physical market. There's been a decrease in demand this year somewhat, but it's still quite high. And there's definitely a gold craze that's sweeping China. So I think that this is all part and parcel of that step towards making the Chinese currency a more important player on the international market, with, I think, the end goal of making this part of the special drawing rights, the IMF-administered basket of currencies, which has been proposed as a type of new world reserve currency and which China's been openly lobbying for several years now to be included in that basket.
And, of course, the thing is that if suddenly the Chinese currency ever challenges the American currency as a reserve currency for the world, it will have a profound impact upon the value of our currency and influence the monetary holdings of everybody listening to this program downward. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-295. If you have a question or comment, why suddenly James has an excellent overview, an internationalist overview of what's going on. Once again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-295, and we'll be back here in just a moment for the last half of the program. Don't hesitate to give us a call if you have a question.
To a land that's free. yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
In South Africa, they had a meeting just last month. They've established a new international banking, which would be more or less in competition with the International Monetary Fund. And certainly, although it certainly doesn't have the funding, it has a $100 billion base. Why, of course, it certainly is a component. It will have some impact, certainly, as far as the economy of the world is concerned. But what you're seeing for the first time is a legitimate a rise and certainly opposition to America's domination of the economy of the world through the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. Would that be a fair appraisal, James?
Yes, I think so. And the real question is how this new development bank and the contingency reserve agreement, how they're actually going to function. And a lot of people have been speculating that they're going to take the cue from China's foreign policy, which obviously is more about hands-off, no strings attached type infrastructure and development loans, which China has been providing, for example, to Africa for the last several years, as a part of basically trying to win over the hearts and minds of various African leaders in order to gain access to African resources. And the speculation is going to be that the new development bank is going to work like that, as opposed to the World Bank, which, of course, puts a lot of stipulations and tries to affect the governmental policies of the countries that it's loaning to. So it really is a question of how this ultimately works out, and we won't start to know that until 2016, when the bank is expected to make its first infrastructure grants and loans. So we'll see at that time how this actually starts to play out. But it is certainly an interesting development. And people who are interested in this, I've written about it for the last couple of weeks in the Forecaster. If you go to the internationalforecaster.com right now on the front page, you can find my editorial from 2 weeks ago, what the World Bank actually does, talking about the World Bank and the IMF and how they function. And then my editorial from last week is there as well, Meet BRICS, the new development bank that was just posted on August 23rd talking about the NDB and how it's going to function.
Okay, Kevin, does that answer your question? Do you have any other questions you'd like to ask?
Oh, yes. That was great. Thank you so much for that answer, and thank you for those resources. I'll check them out.
Okay.
My other question for you is a lot of people see the rise of these new banks internationally as a big threat to our economy. But as an economist, do you think more competition between international banks will actually help our economy, or do you see that as a threat to our economy as well?
Well, I think there's a couple of things to differentiate there. I mean, for example, when we're talking about the new development bank in particular, then that we're talking specifically about basically grants and aid and funding to the developed world. And I think from the developed world, the developing world, and from the developing world perspective, obviously the competition between bodies that are competing to give grants and loans is a good thing because it offers basically more of that sort of trough to draw from. So that's a good thing. When we're talking about, for example, bilateral trade deals and other things that are being denominated in other currencies that are building up other financial infrastructures rather than sort of the U.S. dollar denominated and controlled financial infrastructure, again, I think that there is that perspective that you could say, well, the more competition, the better. But certainly not necessarily for the people of the United States who have enjoyed the privilege of issuing the world reserve currency for the past half a century. And that has brought with it all sorts of bonuses, perks, and rewards that are being threatened to be taken off the table as the sort of new economic order comes into view. And again, there's good and bad things to be said about that, but it really, I suppose, boils down to sort of individuals and how they are affected by this. And it's difficult to see that directly in your own life when there's the creation of a new bilateral deal between China and Brazil or something of that sort. But it ultimately does start to play back into the average American's life in terms of the currency and the purchasing power that it has and ultimately what it costs for imports and what you can get for exports. Ultimately, this does have an effect and a blowback on the American economy, and it's not necessarily going to be a happy story for a lot of people. And again, I think we've been talking about this. What we're starting to see in retail is just one reflection of that phenomenon. So there are good things to be said about having more choice in international markets and having a more diversified base, but it also creates some problems and pain as that transition into a new economy takes place, and that's definitely going to affect a lot of people.
Amen to that. Okay, fine. Anything else you wanted to ask before we let you go? Okay, Ernie, anything else you wanted to know? All right, let's go to Frank, then, who's calling us from Salinas. Hi, Frank. Do you have a question or comment?
Hi. Would you explain again, George Soros is shorting the S&P, or he is buying puts on the S&P?
His corporation is shorting the S&P. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. The Soros Management Fund is investing in S&P 500 ETF puts. So they are betting that the S&P 500 is going to go down or to crash.
Did George Soros buy gold or silver and sell it, buy and sell it?
Yes, Soros invests in gold. I believe the last time I saw his public holdings, he was decreasing his holdings in gold. But again, I'm always a bit skeptical about what is publicly claimed about where Soros is putting his money, because I think he's the type of investor who knows that the stories about his investment tend to drive the market. So I think it's sort of look at my left hand, not my right hand. So I'm always a bit skeptical about those types of stories.
Okay, anything else, Frank?
No, that's it. Thank you so much for your help.
God bless. Let's go to, we have Ernie calling from Eastern Washington. If they'll just put him through. Well, there we are. Hi, Ernie from Eastern Washington. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, I do. I'd like to have a couple of them. First of all, I hear all these analysts talk about gold and silver going to decline dramatically when interest rates go up. And I'm really thinking that's not correct. And the second thing is, I know that people are talking about this new currency that the BRIC nations are coming up with that is going to make gold and silver just dropped back down to what we saw in the 1990s, silver down to $7 and $8, and gold at $250. I just would love to see James comment on that.
Well, I agree with you that I don't think that in a rising interest rate environment, we're going to see a decline in gold. I think that the action would be exactly opposite to that, that as the interest rates rise, I think we're going to be in more of a flock towards gold. But I do understand people are going to be unwinding from their bond positions and potentially trying to find places in the market, equities markets or something. So I guess that might be part of that speculation. But I certainly see that as a bull pressure for gold. So I think that's definitely going up. And the second part of your question, I don't think it's a BRIC currency per se that's being constructed right now. There's certainly a financial architecture and a trade architecture that's being constructed between the BRICS nations, between China and a lot of other nations on a bilateral basis. I think what really is most likely to be offered in the event that the U.S. dollar starts position as a world reserve currency starts to be eroded would be the pumping of the IMF special drawing rights, which is not a currency that you or I or any regular person has access to. It's only a currency that central banks would use as a way to cover their balance of payments, whether that's trade imports or export losses or gains. They would clear those payments in terms of these SDRs, which already exist, but they're just not as commonly used. But that has been proposed as a type of secondary world currency or something that that could replace the dollar. And right now that SDR is composed of a basket of currencies. It's the yen, it's the euro, it's the American dollar, and one other is in there, which I was escaping. Yeah, I said the yen. There's another currency in there. There's four currencies at the moment, but China has been lobbying to be included in that, and we're looking at a potential shakeup as early as early next year when the IMF meets to review the basket of currencies. So I think that's the most likely way we can see that taking place. And that is, I mean, it's something that I think is going to happen. It's just a question of the time frame of that happening. And I'm not sure that that's going to happen in the near future. And when it does happen, it's not going to happen without a fight of some sort. I don't think the U.S. military is going to be sitting there idly on the sidelines as central banks around the world start dumping the dollar.
Okay, anything else, Ernie?
No, I've nothing really else to ask the question, but I do agree with him. And what my big concern is what our military is going to do. Most people don't understand when our military is discharged, it's not about right or wrong. It's about keeping the power across the world. And there's a lot that the American people don't know. But thank you very much for your time, and you have a great show, Dr.
Okay, fine. Thanks very much, Ernie. I hope that our producer will put Bruce from Durham, Michigan on, and we'll get to Bruce before we get to the end of the program here. Well, certainly, James, as we see what's... Oh, here we go. We've got Bruce right now. Hi, Bruce, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I was watching the Chinese news on the French economy today, and they were saying how bad they are compared to Germany, and Germany has a down look. They're not optimistic, their businesses. I wonder if James thinks that Ms. Merkel will offer some kind of deal that reconciles Poroshenko and Putin. What do you think of that, or is it just going to get worse?
No, I think that definitely Germany has a vested interest in making sure that this tension between Ukraine and Russia dies down a bit, because that would potentially open the door to easing these sanctions a little bit. These sanctions are being applied politically and for political reasons, definitely not for economic reasons. And I think Germany realizes that they do have a lot to lose. As I was just quoting earlier in the hour, as many as 50,000 jobs are expected to be put on the line as a result of the Russian sanctions and the German sanctions and the loss in trade between those two partners. And we've actually just seen some pretty astounding news in the Eurozone, where Spain has actually outperformed Germany for, I believe, the first time in over 5 years in the Eurozone in terms of industrial productivity, which is, again, a pretty amazing result and only shows that Germany is declining quite quickly. And so I think absolutely Merkel has a sort of skin in the game when it comes to the Ukraine-Russia conflict, and that's why the talks that are taking place right now are taking place in Germany.
Now, the statistics were France went over 10% unemployment, and Germany is still in the threes, like 3.4, 3.5% unemployment, but their outlook, their optimism in Germany is way down. If there is no war or some other hellish thing that occurs this October, what kind of October surprise do you see, or is there going to be any? Are we forestalling it again if we can forestall further war in Europe?
I couldn't possibly predict. I mean, I think that's the point of the October surprise, but I think we should definitely be keeping our eye also on what's happening in the Middle East right now, which provides, at the very least, a sort of a secondary front for the U.S. and presumably its allies as well to offload some of its surplus bombs onto an unsuspecting population, as we're starting to see. And we've definitely seen a lot of chatter in the last few weeks about IS or ISIS or ISIL or whatever they're going by this week. And some pretty amazing comments coming from people like Dempsey and the Secretary of Defense and others talking about the apocalyptic end-of-days vision of ISIS. And you have Senator Inhofe talking about how they're working on plans to blow up a city. You have WGN reporting out of Chicago that apparently some pictures that have been posted online about Chicago pose the threat that it may be the next target of the terrorists and things of that nature. So I never put it past them to stage some sort of terrorist incident as a way of justifying some sort of new military incursion. But that's always the type of thing that's pretty impossible to predict. All we can do is take a look at the chatter and the headlines and see which way they're trending.
You know, you're right about that, because we have more control over ISIS, I think, than we do over Russia. So if we can't prod Russia into a war, we can certainly come up with some ISIS incident and either hurt the economy or help the economy, whatever we want to do this fall. But do you think this fall is crucial, or are we just going to coast along?
It's another window of I suppose, opportunity, depending how you want to look at that word. But yes, I mean, I think, again, it's usually in the fall where big economic swings tend to happen, and a lot of downturns tend to happen in the fall as well. So it is a time that we should at least be wary of what's happening and keep our eyes on the headlines to see how they're developing.
Okay. I had one other question, if you got some time.
We got time for one more question, Bruce.
It'll be a quick one. If we have an economic downturn, how quick can they bail in the banks and steal our bank accounts from us? Is there any way we can get there quick enough to take the money out before they can take it from us?
Well, if you know what's coming before it happens, I guess you have the chance. But for the people of Cyprus, of course, I mean, bad news tends to be announced on a Friday afternoon shortly after the banks close or after the markets close. So good luck with that. And unfortunately, the infrastructure for this type of bail-in mechanism is being hammered out on the international level right now by things such as the Financial Stability Board, which was created by the Bank for International Settlements in the wake of the 2008 crisis. And they're starting to put out the white papers that made the bail-in in Cyprus possible and that makes it possible in other countries besides. So I think people have to be very wary about that type of thing, and that's why I certainly wouldn't hold all of my cash holdings or all of my life savings in one financial institution, because all it takes is one event on a weekend, and by Monday morning, you might not have nearly as much money as you thought you did.
Yeah, well, I've still got like 75% in two different banks. I'm just waiting, like Johnny Depp there in the Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, he comes into the dock, and his ship is sinking right underneath him, and he takes a step off on the dock just as the ship goes down. I hope I can do it. All right,
well, I would not count on it, Bruce. I would certainly make my preparations accordingly, and you certainly should have gold and silver certainly as a backup, considerable amount of what you have there.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else before we let you go?
No, thanks a lot.
Okay, fine. Well, of course, our guest has been James Corbett. James, how can people get in touch with you, get your information?
Of course, they can find the International Forecaster at theinternationalforecaster.com, and they can subscribe to the newsletter there. If people want to find me personally, it's corbettreport.com. That's CORBETTReport.com.
Okay, fine. Now, what do you actually offer for them? Don't you have a private newsletter that you circulate?
As a matter of fact, I do. Yes, I have my own subscriber newsletter. People can also, and once they become a member, they can sign in and leave comments on the website. The details of that are on the website under membership. Of course, you can also buy DVDs of my various documentaries and videos They're all online as well on the website. And for listeners of Radio Liberty, I'm going to start a special 10% discount. Just type in Radio Liberty when you go to check out your DVD order, and you will get 10% off.
Okay, fine. Well, hang on there. Our guest this evening has been James Corbett. He's always a pleasure to have with us, certainly a private, certainly a financial analyst, who is certainly one of my favorite guests. We'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program right here at Radio Liberty.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
Is doing. And when the Federal Reserve suddenly right now is keeping the things going, and they have kept it going by pumping almost $4 trillion, at least $3 trillion into the economy, keeping the interest rates very low. And when the Federal Reserve is pushing out money and making it readily available, why suddenly you stay with the equity market? If you've been in the stock market, you've done very, very well. But what are the Federal Reserve going to do at the present time? Suddenly, are they going to really start allowing interest rates to go up? Are they going to start contracting and just stop suddenly putting any more money into the economy as they have? And basically, all we can do is try to figure out in anticipation what the Federal Reserve is going to do. And we have to protect ourselves and realize that the only real thing of value is gold and silver. Paper money is simply simply paper money, and the Federal Reserve can create tremendous prosperity with paper money or simply destroy its value overnight. So it's a matter of trying to figure out what's going on, and that's one reason we have Jamie Corbett with us. Will there be an October surprise? Well, we're just going to have to wait and see. But make your plans accordingly. Diversify, 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 and certainly do not keep your money on things that could be destroyed if the value of paper currency were to be undermined. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener support, and we're dependent upon those of you who listen to our program to help us maintain our network of stations across America. We're 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. We bring people the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And the one advantage we have is we understand who it is who really runs the world. And it's a small group of people who've given their lives over to the dark side. Not very many of them, a few thousand of them, but they're the ones who really control the banking system, who control the media, who control the major corporations, who control the military, who control our educational system and our churches. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. They want you to think you go to the poll every 4 years to vote for a president. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't. You vote not for the candidate of your choice, the candidate of their choice. And if their candidate isn't winning, why, they simply will Trump, where they'll actually create artificial elections. I mean, basically, John Kennedy lost the election in 1960 to Richard Nixon. He would have won if they hadn't, if John Kennedy, the Kennedy family, with the help of Sam Giancana, hadn't actually manipulated the election results. And of course, Richard Nixon wanted to challenge the result of that election, and he was told not to do that. He'd have a chance to run again. Because the last thing they want is for you to understand that many of our elections are actually rigged here in the United States. And basically, of course, this has happened in 1960. It's still happening today. In fact, I personally believe that that Romney won the election last time around, but of course they just rigged it just so that Obama would get back in, because they wanted him there for 8 years so he could proceed to undermine our economy. Can I prove that? No, but certainly nobody's going to be allowed to investigate. And what we need to do is check out every time we have an election. And we need people, we need to get back to paper ballots, and we need them counted by hand rather than done electronically, because there's not one electronic voting machine out there that can't be rigged. Oh, if you're in a position to help us financially, we need your financial support. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And certainly, if you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or get our books or four tape sets. And we've got all sorts of new four CD sets, a new one on a dangerous electricity. But you just go to our webpage, radioliberty.com. See what we have there. You're welcome to copy anything that we have produced and get it out across America. Please pray for America. We pray for Radio Liberty.
As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, the land that I love, stand beside her.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western and Christian civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, As always, at this time on Friday evening, the views of William Grigg, who is formerly the senior editor of the New American Magazine, has worked for Republican Magazine, has his own radio program, writes extensively for us in the Internet, and then, of course, you can read his articles every month in Radio Liberty. William Grigg, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Dr. Stan, it's always a blessing to be with you, and I think a really good place to begin would be to review some of the prophetic warnings that were offered by some of the more precipient commentators of ages past regarding the trajectory of America back at the time that the aftermath of World War II had left pretty much every other nation on earth prostrate, and the United States found itself thrust into the position of so-called world leadership. This was largely a result of a war that had been engineered by elitists in this country, working in collaboration with like-minded cabalists, if you will, people who were part of conspiratorial cabals in other countries. Back in the 1950s, Garrett Garrett, who is a tremendously gifted writer, he wrote the Saturday Evening Post and a number of other publications and newspapers. He was an old-school conservative who cherished the Republic, that America is a country that will be distinct from all others and distinguish itself, among other ways, by minding our own business and doing business. What he wrote as America found itself being eased into the NATO alliance and becoming more or less the predominant power in the world and began to exercise imperial power in contravention of our Republican heritage, he wrote the following thing. How now, thou American frustrated crusader, do you know where you are? Is it security you want? There is no security at the top of the world. To thine own self, a liberator, to the world an alarming portent, do you know where you are going from here? The point of this little poetic warning at the end of a very long essay was that America had become something we were never intended to be, and we were fulfilling, regrettably, John Quincy Adams' dire prediction of what would happen if the United States decided that our mission in the world was to go abroad in search of monsters to destroy, and that by aligning ourselves with liberation movements abroad, the United States would find itself becoming a country that had alienated itself from its best traditions. We might become the dictatress of the world, warned John Quincy Adams, but we would no longer be the master of our own spirit, and that subtly and insensibly the maxims of our policy would change from liberty to force. And bear in mind, this was the early 1950s, at a time when it was believed, or at least people pretended to believe, that the Soviet Union constituted an existential threat to the United States. And this was an impression fortified by the perfidy of the FDR administration in turning over half a dozen or more Christian nations in Central and Eastern Europe to the Soviet Empire.
But I think it's so important that people understand that this was all staged. It was done so we would have an enemy to rally the people behind our government and to justify then, of course, America going overseas to take over control of other governments and creating this empire. But it was all based upon, the threat of communism. But you will go right ahead, William.
Exactly. This was something that they had admitted, actually, documents were published in the late 1950s, early 1960s. The communist dynamic had to be kept healthy so that it could be used to goad people into accepting the idea of world government.
That's exactly what they did, and that's exactly what's going on today. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And Garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy Garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order Garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, William is talking suddenly about an article written 50 years ago by William Buckley that calls for America leading the battle against the wicked communists, never pointing out that we were cultivating and financing the communists, but you needed an enemy if you were going to suddenly get the American people mobilized and willing to give up their freedom to protect us from the wicked communist movement. And that's been going on for 50 years, and suddenly it's going on today. But you go right ahead, William.
In one form or another, this has been going on for decades. It's been going on since the 1940s. It's something that the self-perpetuating semi-concealed elite has been pursuing by one tactic or another, and that is the consolidation of power at a global level through some institution, whether it's the United Nations or some affiliate, some appendage of that body, or some successor organization. Right now, the United Nations really is at low ebb in terms of its visibility and influence. That doesn't mean that the people who created the United Nations have given up on the idea of having some kind of a hegemonic world body. It just means that, for now, the existing architecture is being ignored in favor of working through NATO. And NATO is a very important and much misunderstood organization. It's always been perceived, at least by a certain segment of public opinion of a certain age. I think that most people on the sunlit side of 40 probably don't have much idea of NATO. Those of us who are a little older than that remember that during the 1970s, 1980s, NATO was depicted as the indispensable bulwark against Soviet expansion. And that's how it was sold to the public, but it was never intended to be such. NATO is a regional affiliate of the United Nations. And for all intents and purposes, NATO is the United Nations military body. It's the UN Army. There have been proposals. I mentioned Lincoln P. Bloomfield's proposal back in 1960. Before that, there was a document entitled Freedom from War, a State Department document 7277 signed by John F. Kennedy in, I believe, October of 1961, that talked about a three-stage grand project for what was called general and complete disarmament. And you would have a three-stage process whereby the national military establishment of the world's country would be wound down, dismantled, while at the same time, pari passu, you would have a buildup of the United Nations peacekeeping machinery until such time that the world would be effectively under the control of the United Nations Peace Force. Now, there is an Orwellian locution if ever I've heard a red one. Peace Force. The idea is that you would have something that would impose peace by force, which, of course, is a form of tyranny. And in the third stage, the members of this United Nations condominium would have only those select military establishments and armaments that would be used to carry out the UN's military missions abroad. And internally, they'd have a centralized, militarized law enforcement body called an internal security force. Now, we've not seen the fulfillment of that grand design because there are still national militaries on Earth. But what has happened, really, if you take a look at the aggregate military expenditures of the world's nations, the United States spends almost as much as the rest of the world combined on a military establishment that has nothing to do with the defense of the United States. The United States military for decades now has been involved in grand missions overseas for the purpose of so-called nation-building and peacekeeping initiatives. And the United States government, since at least 1991, with the overt announcement of the intention of becoming the enforcement arm of the United Nations Security Council, has been carrying out the role described in that document way back in 1961.
But I think that really basically, William, what we really are doing is maintaining an empire. Yes. The United States has an empire. The average American doesn't understand that. We have troops in, that's in the 130 nations. We have 800 to 1,000 foreign military bases. That's in the, well, we have certainly our special forces over there in the Ukraine. Our special forces are in Iraq. We have troops in a dozen or more African nations. They're not defending America. They're maintaining the American empire as a stepping stone to a one-world government. And the fact that most Americans have no idea is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today of what the American people think and believe. I would also mention we've killed about 1 million Christians in Iraq and Syria and in other countries, in Libya and in Egypt and Tunisia. Islamic radicals financed with your tax money have killed the Muslims there. And where is the outcry from the American Christian leadership, the American Christian leaders, the American Christians? It's deafening in its silence, and I tremble when I reflect that God is just, and I believe he's going to bring judgment on America, not for what we've done, for what we haven't done, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Would you agree or disagree with that, William?
I would agree with that wholeheartedly, and that's one of the things that troubles my sleep, causes my ease to flee, is the notion, actually the acknowledgement, it's not a notion so much as recognition of a reality, that the government that claims to act in our name has been cultivating mass bloodshed of that kind and targeting, among many other groups of innocent human beings, each of which is an individual made in the image of our Creator. Among other groups of individual human beings targeted for slaughter, of course, are fellow believers in Christ in Iraq and Syria and elsewhere. And these people are being slaughtered by the thousands, tens of thousands, by groups that have received the direct assistance and subsidy of the United States government for reasons of cynical realpolitik. What's going on right now under ISIS in the parts of Iraq that group occupies is perhaps the most lurid example of mass slaughter that we have seen since the Rwandan genocide. And this is a group that was cultivated by Washington, that was nurtured by Washington. Critical elements of it were provided with arms by the United States government in both Syria and before that Libya, and they've been unleashed on that country that was supposed to liberate it from Saddam Hussein, the United States government surrogate Saddam Hussein, supposedly liberated by the United States. And now we have an interesting spectacle where the United States government is bombing that country once again for the advertised purpose of beating down this horrible salient of perfectly psychotic bloodlust, ISIS. Well, of course, in Syria, they are actively promoting the same group in order to wage war upon the government of Bashar al-Assad. But that's, in microcosm, a pretty good specimen of what the foreign policy establishment of the United States has been doing for the better part of a century. They have gone out of their way not to destroy monsters, but to nurture them. And then once they have been fattened and gotten the scent of blood in their nostrils, the United States government goes out and makes war upon them. And usually in such a way that you leave a remnant of that same group behind so as to keep the cycle going, to keep the bloody merry-go-round in operation. And this has left us in a situation where, as you say, Dr. Stan, we have the United States government functionally behaving as an empire, as, if you will, sort of a holding company for some grandiose project in global rule that may or may not come out of the current architecture for such an ambition, and that would be the United Nations. This study back in 1962 by Lincoln P. Bloomfield, A World Effectively Controlled by the United Nations, was produced through MIT on a military contract, and it was the idea being explored in this of a secure military environment where the United States government, working through the United Nations, would essentially render all nations subject to the rule of the elite dominating the United States government, that of a few allies. Of course, the Anglo-American elite is what they're talking about, albeit elusively in that document and some of the others. What Bloomfield pointed out is that the all-powerful UN envisioned by the study, and I'm quoting now, would not necessarily be the organization as it now exists. In theory, a radical rearrangement of power in the world could be codified through a vision of the existing UN charter, or a new constitution could be designed. In fact, he continued, the process of empowering the United Nations, and I quote, could be a completely new start in the way the Articles of Confederation were scrapped to write the American Constitution. But it is not a terribly important point which method is used. The essential point is that the transfer of the most vital element of sovereign power from the state to a supranational government. Let me unpack that for just a second. What Mr. Bloomfield was saying, and this is a taxpayer-subsidized study conducted through a Department of Defense cutout and working with resources at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, what Bloomfield was saying is that through some structure, whether it's the existing United Nations, an enhanced United Nations, or some entirely new entity, there was going to be this steady transfer of sovereignty from national governments to supranational bodies. And what's happened, I believe, is that NATO really has become, if you will, the most important component of the United Nations system, NATO and the International Monetary Fund. Because the International Monetary Fund, as we've discussed many times, many previous occasions on this program, we've referred to the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman by Mr. Perkins. The International Monetary Fund and World Bank, but primarily the IMF, is really a loan-sharking operation that is used to destroy the residual independence of developing countries by getting their national government so deeply in debt to the United Nations system that they eventually turn over their sovereignty, turn over their national independence to this UN-connected banking cartel. And where it's necessary to break down the resistance or to collect on these outstanding and unpayable debts, then you have the various means that are employed that involve wet work, whether you're talking about jackals, meaning assassins, or whether you're talking about sending in the bombers, sending in the military in order to take out these governments. That's been the pattern of the United States government since the end of the so-called Cold War, and that explains what's going on in Ukraine. And Ukraine, of course, is right on the front porch of Russia, and that could lead to a cataclysmic confrontation with Russia that would lead to untold bloodshed and horror. And I think that's where we're headed if we're not careful.
Well, hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment here with Wyndham Greek.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Americans love pills. America's 40 million seniors will have consumed 1.6 trillion pills during their lifetime, not counting vitamin pills. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Americans are living longer an additional 18 years after they reach age 65. How will senior Americans spend that time? You've got it. Taking more and more pills to treat more and more disease. We need a better approach. How about a pill that promotes health rather than treats disease? That's where a pill I formulated comes in. It's called Longevinix, and it's a well-tested combination of herbs and vitamins proven to trigger genes activated by a limited-calorie diet, even mimicking physical exercise. Longevinix promotes healthy vision, heart pumping, immune response, blood clotting, and even mood. Call 1-866-405-4000 to order today. Healthy aging, Longevinix. Get started before you grow old. Call now, 1-866-405-4000.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you enjoy cooking? Would you like to learn the culinary secret that Barbara uses to enhance the flavor of Dr. Stan's food? Who's Barbara? She's Dr. Stan's wife. And what's her secret? She uses the delicious spices produced by Old Westport Spice and Trading Company. After using and enjoying their products for almost 20 years, Dr. Stan and Barbara decided they should offer their favorites to you. If you would like to please your family and enhance the flavor of your food, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. I suggest you call today. Once again, the telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly William is pointing out that certainly the situation in that had taken is taking place over in the Ukraine had come about certainly because there were a lot of people that were very much pro-Russian who did not want to be ruled by a group certainly in Kiev that had been put there by the CIA. Basically, they had a democratically elected government. Everything was fine. And then, of course, you had the elimination of that democratically elected government. I had one put in but run by the CIA. The people in Russia didn't like that. They suddenly took off the Crimea. They had a vote. The people in the Crimea wanted to be affiliated with Russia, as do a number certainly of the states there in the remaining part of the Ukraine. But, of course, the people in Kiev, under the CIA control, don't want that. And so this whole thing is being staged and has nothing to do with representative government. It has everything to do with the fact that the Central Intelligence Agency wants to dominate that region of the world. Go right ahead.
Yeah. There's something very, very troubling and dangerous about the fact that you have ethnic Russians in Crimea and Donbass and a couple of other places there in the southeast part of the country Ukraine. We're under assault, and it's a nasty, wholesale, indiscriminate bloodletting by the military, the Ukrainian military in Kiev. And they're working with U.S. military advisors in order to understand what this really means. embrace the counterfactual version of this. Let's assume that the Russian government, for whatever reason, had fomented a revolution in Mexico. And in doing so, they created a state of affairs where, let's say, Tijuana and maybe a couple of other of the northern states of Mexico decided that rather than being ruled by a Mexican-aligned communist junta in Mexico City, they wanted to become part of the United States. So the United States decided that there was a historical continuity between northern Mexico and that large section of Mexico that we essentially stole from them after the War of 1846. And so we allowed them into the United States, or at least we allowed them to have a referendum secession, and they ended up adhering to the United States. And so you have the Russian government sending in advisors to Mexico City so they can conduct an all-out military assault, not only on, say, Tijuana and other parts of northern Mexico, but there's evidence that they have actually been conducting a military assault on the southwestern part of the United States. Would we tolerate this? We wouldn't tolerate it for a picosecond. Well, that's essentially the position that the United States and its allies have put Vladimir Putin in. I'm not trying to say that Vladimir Putin is in any sense an honorable or decent man. He is not. He's a ruler. He's ex-KGB, and I use scare quotes around the word ex because I don't believe that you're ever a former Czechist. You might be a penitent Czechist, but, of course, one of the first things you should say is, I spent my life, after plighting my troth to this criminal clique, doing horrible things in the service of evil, and I've since seen the light and I repudiate all the works and pomps of my former employer, then I might believe that you might be an ex-Czechist, but you'd still be on probation. But he's not a nice guy. He's not a liberator. He's not somebody I would look upon as an exemplar of anything other than pure power politics. But he's acted with a certain element of restraint because he's not irrational. And he's been doing what he can in order to minimize or mitigate the potential for mass bloodshed in places like Syria and Iran. And now in the near abroad, the literal front porch of his country, you've got the United States actively not only supporting an assault on ethnic Russians in the section of Ukraine that wants to consider itself part of Russia, they have the United States Senate talking about moving NATO forward into Moldova and some other elements of what had been part of the Soviet Union. You actually see the United States Senate urging aggressive action against Russia while denouncing Russia as the aggressor. As of right now, I don't think there are Russian military assets anywhere outside the boundaries of the Russian Federation. There was a brief reinforcement of a garrison in Crimea. That garrison was provided for in treaties that were signed between the Russian Republic, Russian Federation, rather, and Ukraine after the fall of the Soviet Union. They were signed with the knowledge and approval of the United States government, the government of Great Britain. So it wasn't as if he invaded Crimea. He reinforced the existing garrison there, and then he withdrew his troops. But he cannot sit by and allow the United States surrogate government in Kiev to be slaughtering ethnic Russians there in the southeastern part of Ukraine. There's only one government on the face of the earth that has the means to hurt the United States, and that's the government of Russia. And the demented people running U.S. foreign policy are doing everything they can to provoke a conflict with Russia in which Russia would be in the right. And that's something that I simply cannot fathom. And I don't know why people aren't furious and terrified over this.
I agree with you. And the last thing, of course, we would want would be a conflict with Russia at this time. We're going to be back in just a moment here with my special guest, William Greig. Listen to what he's saying, because I think we're maybe, and I hope and pray I'm wrong, that we may be on the verge of something very serious.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith, and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Garlic, there's no medicine, natural or pharmaceutical, that can top it. Whether it's your arteries, your immune system, your heart, or your brain, garlic protects in incomparable ways. And garlic not only boosts your immune system, but directly attacks all incoming bacteria, viruses, and fungi. This is health journalist Bill Sardi. Most researchers use allicin, garlic's primary active ingredient, which common garlic pills don't produce because acid in the stomach destroys the enzymatic production process. Garlazyme is the exception. Its patented alkaline mineral base protects the enzyme that activates allicin in the acidic stomach. And garlazyme also buffers garlic's pungency, odor, and breath. It's sociable garlic. Buy garlazyme in quantity for less than $9 a month, and shipping is free. Call 866-674-3955 to order garlazyme now. Garlazyme, it's the goodness of Mother Nature for civilized society. 866-674-3955.
Cancer was a rare disease 100 years ago, but that isn't true today. A recent study reveals 38% of American women and over 42% of American men either have or will develop cancer during their lifetime, and many will die from that disease. Why has the incidence of cancer increased? Well, most people eat processed food, and processed food contains toxic substances, and the vitamin, mineral, and antioxidant content of processed foods is altered during preparation. What can you do? Most diets are deficient in magnesium, iodine, vitamin C, vitamin D3, antioxidants, and other essential nutrients. So Radio Liberty offers the supplements you need to maintain your health. If you'd like a list of our products or a catalog, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. And our website is radioliberty.com.
Well, that thought, I guess, is William Dunn. Senator Greg, and he's just talking about the fact that the United States has put sanctions onto Russia. Yeah. And basically, and so has Europe. And this is an act of war. And however you look at it, we have actually taken an act of war against Russia. Russia is retaliating now and suddenly is going to actually put sanctions onto Europe. They put sanctions on food from the United States and suddenly products coming in from England and from Europe. And basically, this could very well be a precursor to war. But the average American doesn't understand. Sanctions are an act of war. Before we go on, you go right ahead, William.
All right. One of the things that happened this last week because of these sanctions is that there were hundreds of Russian tourists who found themselves stranded because their travel agencies were no longer able to process transactions to get them home. And these were people from the, if you will, mercantilist element of the Russian economy. They don't really have a free market capitalist system in Russia. We don't have one here either. I'm not trying to say that this is uniquely a Slavic affliction. For heaven's sake, Russia has a smaller government than the United States. It has a less invasive government than the United States now. This is largely a measure, I think, of the fact that it fell apart. I don't think that this was done because the ruling elite in Russia suddenly converted to the doctrines of Adam Smith rather than those of Marx and Engels. But I think things fell apart. The center couldn't hold. When the center didn't hold, suddenly there was room for people to flourish. But unfortunately, in that system, the red managerial class, the people who've been the Soviet bureaucratic apparatchiks had deeded to themselves pretty much everything of value in 1990 and early 1991 before the hammer and sickle flag was struck on the last day of 1991. But the mercantilist class of Russia is their elite, and there are people within that elite who are fairly respectable business, but a lot of them are oligarchs who are mobbed up. But there are people in Russia who are genuinely entrepreneurial. And by the way, Mr. Obama, Russia does make things. They, among other things, they make very, very good electronics. They make very good rockets and aerospace technology. I think it was Michael Savage this past week, God bless him for pointing this out, who mentioned that every time the United States sends astronauts to the International Space Station, they have to hitch a ride with a Russian booster because we don't have the space lift capacity to get astronauts to and from the International Space Station, large sections of which were built by these Russians who supposedly don't make anything. What a fascinating, repellent spectacle. Here's somebody whose brow has never known the sweat of honest labor, whose hands have never been put to constructive work, who's never, to the best of my knowledge, actually earned an honest paycheck in his life through exertions that actually added to the net value of our society, who had the temerity a couple of years ago to say that when, I think it was last year, that if we have a business, we didn't build that, and now he's saying the Russians don't make anything. Now, Obama doesn't know the first thing about productive activity, you know, actual work that adds to the economic value of society. And he's actually criticizing Russia from the left. The thing is, you have these people who have been traveling, pursuing international commerce, and commerce is the best form of diplomacy, who found themselves stranded because of the sanctions that were imposed by the United States by our bullied and bribed and blackmailed lackeys, the imperial satraps in Europe. And as a result, you had corresponding sanctions imposed against Western banking interests by Russia. And as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, Russia is now imposing an embargo on various forms of American agricultural exports. That's a big deal, by the way, here in places in Idaho. Now, Idaho does a great deal of agricultural exports, and a lot of it ends up in Russia. And now you're going to have people feeling the financial consequences of these actions that are, at very best, a precursor to war. One of my favorite analysts of international affairs is Eric Margolin. He's somebody who has spent the last 4 or 5 decades traveling everywhere and writing about everything of consequence, interviewing anybody of prominence, influence, who's had a significant role in the development of international diplomacy and conflict. He's the sort of a person who had the late Muammar Gaddafi on his speed dial and actually interviewed Muammar Gaddafi in several of his residences. And he knew these people. He didn't necessarily like them, but he interviewed them and reported what they said. This is what Eric Margolis has to say about what's going on right now in Ukraine. Russia and the West are at war over fruit, veggies, pork, and bank loans. The cause is Ukraine, a vast emptiness formerly unknown to the Western world, but now deemed a vital national security interest worthy of risking a very scary war. Economic embargoes, such as those launched by the U.S. against Russia, may seem relatively harmless. They are not. Trade sanctions are a form of strategic warfare that is sometimes followed by bullets and shells. Think, for good example, of the 1940 U.S. embargo against Japan that led to Tokyo's fateful decision to go to war rather than face slow economic strangulation that you were talking about earlier, Dr. Stan. How many Americans know that President Roosevelt closed the Panama Canal to Japanese shipping to enforce demands that Tokyo get out of Manchuria in China? Frighteningly today, there are senior officials in Washington and Moscow who are actually considering a head-on clash in Ukraine between Russian forces and NATO, which is an extension of U.S. military power, and parenthetically, it's a regional affiliate of the United Nations. Whatever role that might play in present calculations, I don't know, but that's worth footnoting here or taking notice of. Intensifying attacks by Ukrainian government forces, quietly armed and financed by the U.S. against pro-Russian separatists and civilian targets in eastern Ukraine, are increasing the danger that Moscow may intervene militarily to protect Ukraine's ethnic Russian minority. And as I noted before, Dr. Stan, that would be entirely understandable. It would be a dangerous escalation, but if the situation were reversed and we were dealing with attacks that were endangering American citizens or people over whom to whom would they promises of protection, no doubt the government of Washington was considering a similar policy, if not actually carrying it out already. A full-scale military clash, continues Margolis, could begin with the Russian declared no-fly zone over the eastern Ukraine, such as the U.S. imposed over Iraq. Moscow's aim would be to stop the bombing and shelling of Ukrainian rebel cities by Kiev's air force. Russia's leader, President Vladimir Putin, is under growing popular pressure to stop the killing of pro-Russian Ukrainians who were Russian citizens until 1991. That's another important aspect of this. You're talking about people who, within living memory, and relatively brief living memory, you're talking about basically a generation. They were citizens of Russia. They're ethnically, linguistically, culturally Russian. The U.S. just launched airstrikes against northern Iraq, ostensibly to protect Yazidis, a small religious cult based on Zoroastrianism, which many Iraqis call devil worshippers. Though these strikes were clearly aimed at bolstering U.S.-backed Kurds against the advancing Islamic State forces, Washington called them a humanitarian attack to protect Iraqi Christians and Yazidis. coping with the administration's claim to be waging humanitarian warfare. NATO could quickly deploy its potent air power against Russian aircraft. U.S. and NATO aircraft flying from new bases in Romania, Bulgaria, and Poland could seriously challenge the Russian Air Force over the Russia-Ukraine border region. More U.S. warplanes would be rushed into Eastern Europe. Russian air defenses are strong, and its air bases are close to the sphere of action. Still, NATO air power has a technological superiority over the Russian Air Force better trained pilots. That's not to say, by the way, that if we were launching sorties out of those bases in what had been member states of the Warsaw Pact, that's another betrayal, by the way, because one of the promises made back in 1991 was that Russia was that if they got out of Central and Eastern Europe, NATO would not advance so much as an acre in the direction of Moscow. And that, of course, was a lie. But that's not to say that sorties launched from those airfields would be entirely bloodless. And I don't doubt for a second that Russia would retaliate against a country that had once been part of its sphere of influence. On the ground, Russia has a slight advantage, continued Mr. Margolin. It has 16,000 to 18,000 troops on the Ukraine border made up of mechanized infantry, armor, mobile air defenses, and artillery, a competent but small force and hardly a menace to Europe, as the pro-war media howl. Compare this small number of troops to the Soviet First Ukrainian Front alone in 1944, made up of six armies and thousands of tanks and heavy guns. Russia could fight border skirmishes but certainly not retake Ukraine with this paltry force. Russia's 200-division army, which boasted some 50,000 tanks, is today a shadow of its past. 205,000 active soldiers and 80,000 indifferent reservists spread out over the world's largest nation. Russia, as always, has excellent heavy artillery and good tanks, but nothing compared to World War II when Soviet 152-millimeter guns and rocket batteries were lined up wheel to wheel for kilometers. Any attempt by NATO to capture Crimea would likely be defeated by Soviet air, naval, and land forces. The constricted shallow Black Sea could prove a death trap for U.S. warships. Sevastopol, with Leningrad and Stalingrad, was named a hero city of the Soviet Union for its heroic defense in World War II. Ukraine's cobbled-together army, about 64,000 men, suffers poor training, logistical problems, and weak leadership. During Soviet days, it numbered more than 700,000 with the cutting edge of Russian weapons. Today, the army is stiffened by foreign mercenaries, far-rightists from Kiev. Those far-rightists, by the way, of course, as I said, are essentially Nazis with a new paint job. At best, let's see here, even so, it could not stand up to Russia's better-armed, better-equipped troops. What about NATO? In 1970, the U.S. Army had about 710,000 soldiers in Europe, mostly based in Germany. By the way, just this last week, we found out that the command officer of the U.S. Army Europe is now, for the first time, they're under the command of a German general. I remember often hearing people say that if it weren't for the exploits of the greatest generation in World War II, you'd have Americans speaking German, and now you have Americans being commanded by a German general in Europe. Today, U.S. has only 27,500 German-based troops left, largely non-combat support units. At best, the U.S. could probably assemble 2-week combat brigades, about 5,500 men total, to rush to Ukraine. The rest of U.S. forces are based in Afghanistan, Kuwait, the Gulf, South Korea, and Japan, or stateside. Moving them to Europe would take about 6 months. But the U.S. still retains large air bases in Germany that could support military intervention in Ukraine. Lately, small U.S. NATO contingents have been quietly inserted into East Europe and the Baltic region, large enough to spark a war, but too small to win one. They're essentially there, in other words, as a tripwire. So where does this leave us? Okay, you can probably see the logic of Mr. Margolin's description here of the correlation of forces. Since the end of the Cold War, the U.S. Armed Forces, NATO, and Russia's military have been sharply reduced by budget cuts. Until the Ukraine crisis, there was almost no prospect of war in Europe. Ardor for war among Europeans and Russians is very low. Britain, now a toothless old lion, would support the U.S. and Ukraine with a few men and warplanes. So would France, Denmark, Poland, Canada, and Holland. But to a limited or even token degree. By the way, Canada just announced that it's sending arms and, I believe, advisors. But don't hold me to the advisors part. They're definitely sending arms to Kiev. So it's beginning. Germany and Turkey, NATO's two heavy hitters, want to avoid any conflict with Russia and might well stand aside. They would be wise to do so, I assert. They both do very large business with Russia and are unhappy about the manufactured Ukraine crisis. So any military clash in Ukraine would initially be limited in scope and intensity, but a confrontation could quickly escalate into a dangerous crisis. The Cold War taught that nuclear-armed powers must never fight directly, only through proxy. Nothing is worth the risk of nuclear war, even a limited one. power leaders playing with matches. Now, Mr. Margulies, being a sober and responsible commentator, alluded to what would happen in the event of an actual military clash here without naming it overtly. The logic of this confrontation is that because neither side, neither Russia nor the United States, Russia, of course, because it's a much smaller power with a GDP about, what, 1/15th, 1/16th out of the United States or less, Russia is not militarily able successfully to confront the United States in that region. The United States is hyperextended because we're at the top of the world and we involve ourselves in everybody's trouble. Because either side could win decisively, and both sides are armed with both tactical and strategic nuclear weapons, at some point this would go non-conventional if we ended up in some kind of a military conflict with Russia. This is actually something which has been discussed by, among other people, the chief economic advisor to Mr. Putin, and Mr. Obama himself has actually speculated out loud about the military comparison, the correlation of forces once again between Moscow and Washington. So they're actually beginning to edge up, sort of crab-wise sidle up, to the subject of what would happen if we actually threw down in the region, the United States and Russia. And this is sheer lunacy. There is absolutely no reason on earth or under heaven why the United States should be risking a war with Russia over Ukraine, except for the fact that the United States government, as we pointed out, sees itself essentially as the John the Baptist, if you will, for the imposition of this new world order. And Ukraine got involved in this bloody mess because it had a government that did not want to submit to the rule of the IMF. That takes us back to Mr. Perkins, the economic hitman.
But before we go on, William, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your ministry, how they can certainly get your website, how they can hear your telephone upon me, how they can hear your radio programs, how they can certainly read your articles, which you have certainly on the internet, how they can get your PayPal button. How can people reach you and help you and get your information?
I really appreciate that, Dr. Stan. My chief outlet is still my blog, which is called Pro Libertate. That's found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Freedom in Our Time, spelled as one word, .blogspot.com, or go to Google, some other search engine, and type in William N. Grigg, and the first return should be Pro Libertad. And I publish usually once or twice a week. The essays are about 2,000 words on average. There is a PayPal button on that blog, the Pro Libertate blog, on the right-hand side of the page and at the bottom of every essay. There's also a button for those who are interested in donating by way of Bitcoin. A lot of what I publish at Pro Libertate is syndicated through lewrockwell.com, lewrockwell.com. Mr. Rockwell is the head of the Von Mises Institute in Auburn, Alabama. Matter of fact, if you go to lewrockwell.com tonight, lewrockwell.com, he's republished an essay that I initially published about 3 or 4 days ago on Pro Libertate. It's not the most recent essay on Pro Libertate, but it's a very good treatment of the subject of the abuse of power by prosecutors. And it consists largely of an interview I conducted with a former prosecutor here in the state of Idaho, made the mistake, in terms of his career, of actually reopening a wrongly adjudicated murder case, or attempted murder case here. A lot of what I publish as well is found at the lewrockwell.com blog, which is the right-hand margin of the page. My radio program is called Freedom Zealot Radio, and it's broadcast every Saturday night at 8 o'clock Mountain Time, or 7 o'clock Pacific, on the Liberty News Radio Network, which you can find at libertyroundtable.com. You go to that website, libertyroundtable.com. Up in the right-hand corner of the page, there's a Listen Live Now button. Or if you go to my blog, Pro Libertate, once again, freedominourtime.blogspot.com, down to the bottom of every essay, right next to my PayPal button, there's a place where you can click to listen to the podcast version of that radio program, which is available in an archive, and I usually update that every week. And it also contains the daily radio commentaries I write and broadcast called the Liberty Minute. They're about a minute, 10 seconds long. And all that can be found at freedominourtime.blogspot.com.
And hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment. Our guest has been William Grigg. And I suggest you take full advantage of the material he puts out on a regular basis.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Have you noticed that America is changing? Our nation is changing because public education is systematically destroying our faith in God and country. They have succeeded. What can you do? If you love your children, take them out of public school and consider homeschooling. The Robinson Homeschool Program is a 12-year curriculum devised by a Christian educator. The classes are presented on CDs and dozens of books are included. Thousands of youngsters have taken the course and successfully gone on to college. The modest price is only $195. If you'd like to obtain some additional information, call 800-544-8927. That's 800-544-8927. So if you love your children and want them to succeed, call 800-544-8927 and ask about the Robinson Homeschool Program.
Most men, when they reach 60 years of age, have urinary tract problems. They have to urinate frequently during the day, and they have to get up several times every night. What's the solution? Many men use a herbal product called Prostate Support. It contains saw palmetto and stinging thistle. It's available from Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan takes Prostate Support and recommends it. And thousands of men take Prostate Support every day because it relieves their urinary tract symptoms. If you would like to try Prostate Support, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Once again, the telephone number for Prostate Support is 800-544-8927. And I suggest you call today.
This is Dr. Stan here, and we do hope that you listen and enjoy our conversations with William Grieg, and that you also understand the significance of what he's saying. And I certainly do not talk to him during the week. I don't know his feeling on things, but we are both, I think, deeply concerned about the very real possibility of a conflict in Ukraine. Now, is it coming now? Is it coming later? The one thing I can assure you is this whole thing is engineered. I believe, certainly with all my heart, that we control, in many instances, both sides. Certainly, we know that the CIA is funding the radical Islamists. I'm talking about the Taliban. I'm talking about the Muslim Brotherhood. I'm talking about Al-Qaeda. I'm talking about ISIS, ISIS. And they're all being funded, at least in part, by the CIA. Why? We need an enemy. And we know very well that during the Second World War, why we funded the Germans. Why? Why? Because we needed an enemy. And I suspect that's what's going on in the Ukraine today. And an awful lot of people are going to die, if I'm right. We're just going to have to wait and see how this unfolds. But we're dealing with organized evil. And unless you understand the spiritual component of what's going on today, so much of what's taking place just doesn't make sense. why in the world would we take a chance on creating a war suddenly over what's going on in the Ukraine? And why does America have special forces over there? And why did America spend $5 billion to finance the movement to overthrow the duly elected government in the Ukraine and install the government that we have now, which the initial one was pro-Soviet, and the one we have now is certainly pro-European. And there's so many unanswered questions that nobody asks, and if you don't ask the question, you'll never get a logical answer. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you who listen to our program to help us finance my ministry, which is heard 5 hours a day, 5 days a week, all over the United States, as we try to educate as many people as we can about what is really going on behind the scenes. Because, of course, everything is make-believe. Everything is imaginary. As I knew, we're not getting the true reason for what's going on in Ukraine any more than we're getting the real reason why in Iraq today. We're funding both the ISI and the Shia government there, and we're funding both sides. And an awful lot of people are dying, but remember, of course, during the Iraq War, started in 2003, when they guaranteed that we had to go to war because Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, and it turned out to be a lie. And somewhere between 100,000 and 1 million Iraqis were killed. And nobody's held responsible for that. Colin Powell went before the United Nations and guaranteed that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Well, the only weapons they had mass destruction they had were poison gas, and they transferred that to Syria long before. And nobody wants to tell you that the poison gas that Syria has came from the United States, and that's being rounded up and certainly being destroyed. But the average American has very little understanding of what's going on with anything because our media is rigidly controlled. If you haven't read the book, The New Media Monopoly, written by a left-wing professor, we recommend the book. The only place he's wrong is he says the right-wing controls the media, and it's really this what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get my book on the Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get Professor Ben Bagdikian's a book, certainly on going into the background of the control of the media by calling 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.
Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take command.